Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, welcome to another live in-studio performance in the series we call the Soundcheck Podcast. I'm John Schaefer. The sounds of gospel and soul collide with industrial-strength rock and electronic music in the work of the band Algiers. You can see what they do as an extension of a long tradition of black protest music that includes people like Nina Simone, James Brown, Curtis Mayfield. But the band also seems to know its way around more experimental and avant-garde music as well. And I might as well admit that I've been chasing after them since their first album, otherwise untitled, came out in 2015. Today, they are here to play for us in the studio. Here is Algiers with a song called A Hymn for the Average Man. Thank you. That is the band Algiers playing live here in our studio, and the song is called A Hymn for an Average Man. You'll find it on their most recent album, their sophomore effort called The Underside of Power, and we've taken the opportunity to bring them into our studio. Let me introduce you to the members of Algiers. At our piano and singing lead vocals, Franklin James Fisher.
Hello.
Hi, Franklin.
How you doing?
Good. Lee Tesh playing guitar, although Lee playing it with a bow on that song.
Hi.
And some sampling, too, right?
Yes.
You have the sampler nearby. Ryan Mahan playing the bass and keyboards, and you've got some sampling gear over there, too, right?
I'm running all sorts of hot beats.
You got all kinds of stuff around you. And Matt Tong sitting in Drum World over there in the corner. Good to see you, Matt. Franklin, let me ask you something about that piece, because the piano part, first of all, to kind of dramatically different sound from most of what Algiers, you know, the sound world is very electric, it's very dark. You have this little piano riff, and it almost sounds like a sample, you know, because it's kind of oddly chopped off and it keeps repeating, and almost like a Steve Reich or Philip Glass thing.
Right, yeah.
And then suddenly Bernard Herrmann comes in, and the song goes into a completely different place.
Yeah.
Did you write that at the piano?
I did. And it's funny you mentioned Philip Glass, because my friend Alex Weston, who is one of his assistants, and is a really brilliant composer in his own right, he kind of helped me find my way through that, because I think all four of us in the band are fans of contemporary classical music and experimental music, but me personally, I don't really understand the theory.
Right.
So if I write something that kind of gets me into a bind, I can't really find my way out. So my friend Alex kind of helped me understand what I was trying to do with it.
But that can be an interesting thing, to work yourself into a bind and, you know, maybe have to explode out of it in a way that isn't the usual way.
Absolutely. That's the best part about being in this band, you know.
So, Ryan, how much of the sound of the band is wrapped up in the message of the band? I mean, these are not like, you know, pretty little love songs. They're songs about injustice and pressures of social change and stuff like that. And how much of the noise and the distortion and the urgency of the sound is, you know, is the medium the message here, I guess, is what I'm asking.
It's a really interesting question. And as Frank was mentioning, opening up worlds and sound worlds, I think that's what we tried to do with this band. So we tried to build an entire world, and hence the name Algiers. It actually references a very specific place and a very specific space in history as the first country to throw off colonialism, in this case, fighting and resisting French colonialism, but also representing something for the third world in general, being a space of resistance. The PLO had an office there. The Black Panthers had an office there. So for us,
it was in Algiers.
Mm-hmm. And for us, it was an idea to resuscitate this idea of internationalism, but also represent that really complex, violent, and very melancholy history. So it, maybe as a direct message, we don't consider ourselves a protest band. We consider ourselves a social band that's immersed in various social spaces. And of course, we have to speak to those really dark histories. We're also from the South, and the South obviously has one of the worst histories.
Yeah. Were you guys aware when you named the band that Algiers in Louisiana was like basically a holding pen for enslaved Africans when they were, you know, they would be taken off the boat, and that's where they'd be cleaned up before they were literally sold?
Right.
So you guys knew that?
We've actually been in contact with a lot of people from Algiers. You know, they've written us on different occasions.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you have a name and it signifies so many different things for different people, and it all seems to work within the context of what it is that we represent and what we're trying to convey.
Now, do you have to walk a fine line between songs that are angry and calling out injustice, which can leave a listener feeling hopeless and depressed, like, and songs that have hope and perseverance and a sense of uplift to them, you know?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think Ryan talks often about how nihilism or conceding to nihilism isn't really an option, particularly in the times we live. And just the act of making music, you know, it's... That band Idols, I think their last record is called Joy as an Act of Resistance.
As an Act of Resistance.
That couldn't say it more perfectly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, music is very much a human thing, and it causes us to connect and see the humanity in each other. And so it doesn't really matter how dark the subject matter is, you know, that you are creating something.
Right.
Yeah, and we're also paying homage to everyone who's ever struggled and resisted against something. We're not claiming to be revolutionaries in our own right, but we're definitely influenced by the revolutionary spirit. And it's really interesting that you mentioned that Idols record, because we should name our next record Resistance as an Act of Joy, because
that's
going back to Public Enemy and how they took Fight for Your Right to Party and they said Party for Your Right to Fight.
Yeah,
I think it's a similar thing for us, and I don't think we have to walk a fine line, because the human experience is immersed in all those different facets.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Well, and the thing with Idols, I mean, as long as we've mentioned them, and I should say it's IDLES, not IDOLS, great British punk band whose music, it has this social content to it, but you're pogoing up and down as you listen to it, because
right.
it's just, you know, so sonically, it's a different approach from what you guys take. And the interesting thing is, you know, a lot of your lyrics, like the next song you're going to do, Cleveland, you name names.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally name names right. in this song. But it's in this kind of wash of reverb and, you know, the haze of distortion and stuff. So, speaking purely as a listener, mm-hmm. it's like you can kind of get the feeling from the sound of the band, which is why I asked that question.
Right.
But to kind of parse what you're really talking about requires either a lyric sheet in front of you mm-hmm. or some really careful listening and, you know, trying to get through all of that.
Yeah. Well, I think as listeners and as readers, one thing that we take joy in are the sorts of texts, you know, text with a capital T, that you can engage, and those texts cause you to come back. And every time you go back and read it or watch it or listen, you discover more things in its layer. Yeah. There's a joy in engaging something in that respect. And I think that informs to a great degree how we construct our compositions.
So the songs are not meant to be kind of swallowed whole, you know, on first hearing. You should be able to come back to them and, you know...
Hopefully, yeah.
For sure. And I really, what I love about being in this band is there's so many different contexts in which we can emerge and have different personalities. I mean, when we perform live, it's very much a body performance. It's very performative. It's a very different experience. So again, even for me, I draw a lot just from being in the band and being in these different spaces like today.
Yeah. All right, well, let's hear another song. You want to do Cleveland, which also appears on the last record called The Underside of Power. The band is Algiers, and they're playing live for us on this edition of the Soundcheck podcast.
We're coming back.
We're coming back.
Yeah. ties that noose, the hand that finds you behind and ties those 13 loose. But that hell is gonna fall, the day is coming soon.
The song is Cleveland, the band is Algiers, and they're playing for us on this edition of the Soundcheck Podcast, our series of live in-studio performances from newsounds.org. Ryan, the sample in Cleveland, who is that?
That's actually a question for Franklin, because he composed the beat for that.
So that's the choir that sang with Reverend James Cleveland, and... His voice actually isn't in that, but it's from a song called Peace Be Still.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, grew up listening to that on the way to church with my family.
Did you start singing in church?
No, I did not. I started singing with Ryan when we started the band.
Uh-huh.
The Church of Ryan.
Yes.
Lee, when you sing, now you've done backing vocals on each of these two songs, both times you put your hands over your mouth like this. Is that like a lo-fi, sound processing thing, or what is that?
Yes, partially that, and a lack of confidence with my voice. And the farther I remove myself from the mic, I can kind of mix in underneath these better singers that I'm surrounded by.
Well, now we were talking before we started today, and you still live in Atlanta, mm-hmm. where the band is ostensibly from.
Yes.
Did the band form in Atlanta?
In many ways, yes. I mean, we all know each other from earlier, and
except for Matt, who's from Britain.
Right. Although it seems like we know him from Atlanta as well. Technically, I think we began in London a number of years ago, but we, all of our backgrounds go back to making music together in Atlanta.
Right. And it seems like, I mentioned gospel and soul in introducing you guys, Franklin, but, when I think of a lot of the sounds that you either sample or evoke on the two records, it's kind of proto-gospel and soul. I mean, it's looking at shouts and field hollers and stuff like that. I mean, like really old sounds, it seems.
Yeah, well, it's like Ryan said, what we exist in a social space, and what we do is a very social music. And, if you look at the constituents of gospel music or old Negro spirituals, it's not that different from what makes punk music, the poetics of punk music. And, that's very much like an overlap of our influences. And it's not like all of the gospel or soul elements come just from me,
Right.
Like one of the things that we first bonded on as friends and as a group was Nina Simone and her old live recordings, Ryan's much better at articulating this aspect of what we do, but we try to evoke the sorts of ghosts and the spirits mm-hmm. of the past, of the people who have been overlooked and the people who, whose contributions, the men and women whose contributions to music and to culture have been kind of whitewashed or otherwise blotted out. And so that's very much a theme that contributes to the sound and the poetics that we try to incorporate.
Yeah.
For sure. Resuscitating the ghosts of socialism and trying to establish that utopia here in the United States because we need it badly.
Well, now, here's an interesting thing. I mean, the first album was, came out in 2015. The second album came out in 2017, but you probably would have written most of it pre-2016 election, is that right?
Yeah.
So these songs have like an added, you're talking about resistance. We now, in the past year and a half, 2 years, have been using that term as Americans. We've been talking about resistance.
Right.
So these songs mean something different. That word resistance now has an unavoidable political connotation. Are you writing now, and is it different now than it was 2 years ago?
No, unfortunately, it's not different now from what it was 50 years ago or 500 years ago.
Or in 1692 or every other time.
And, unfortunately, nothing's very surprising in terms of what's unfolded in recent events. It's, you know, it's just kind of the masks have been removed. And, you know, the effect of the Kool-Aid from the past decade is kind of worn off.
And the nasty, hideous beast is finally here. What they've been repressing their whole life.
Yeah.
So, well, let me ask a more cheery question then.
we're actually really fun people.
Yes.
Well, and yes, because Franklin was at our piano for, you know, a good long time before we started today, and we got to hear him playing Nas and Coltrane and like half of the Charlie Brown Christmas special.
shout out to Charlie Brown.
Word to Franklin, the character, you know what I'm saying?
And so, you know, you carry all that with you, a love of hip-hop, a love of jazz, and, you know, the so-called spiritual jazz of someone like John Coltrane or Pharoah Sanders, etc.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's not audible in the sound of the band Algiers, do you feel that's part of the DNA of this music as well?
It's completely part of the DNA of this music, and one thing that, you know, that we're quite proud of and that we wear on our sleeves is, you know, how to be a band without being designated to any traditional role. You know, everybody in this band contributes to the writing, they contribute to the thematics, they contribute to the lyrics even, you know. And Matt very much does that, and I don't think he gets credit for that or people realize that, you know, just because he's one of the best drummers of our generation. I think people just think of Matt Tong and they think of, you know, the insane drummer, which he is, you know, it's crazy, but he's a brilliant musician as well.
Yeah.
We all bring our influences to the table, you know, and it's this band is just so rewarding in that respect.
Yeah. So these are very much, they sound like studio creations, the two records so far. Do you road test the songs first, or is it a case of you create the songs in the studio and then you got to figure out how to play them live?
It really depends, and it's all based on context, really, more than anything else. We were in different countries when we wrote the first record, so obviously it was based on us building the songs on our own in our own bedrooms or in our own environments. And I think that's why it was really that record was had a really distinct sound, because of the fact that I was based in London, really imbibing all the sounds that were there. They were in New York and Atlanta, and Lee was in London as well, so it was a conglomeration of these sounds. But to answer your question more pointedly, no, we haven't had a chance to road test these songs. Luckily for this next record, we have an opportunity. We're touring Europe in January and February, so we have an opportunity to play these new songs, which I might add are sounding pretty wild and really exciting. And the fact that we've actually been able to spend time together and write this record is a totally different experience.
Yeah. And I should give a shout out to Chris Lombardi, who signed us before we'd ever played a show. I met him not too far from here years back. And I assured him that we were a live band, because I knew in my heart that we were.
That
we
just, you would be.
Yeah. And like, it was a massive vote
big
of confidence.
Difference between we are and we would be. So the guy deserves a shout out for that.
Yeah. So Chris Lombardi and Gerard and everybody at Matador, they've been really good to us. So.
Yeah. All right. So Ryan mentioned the first album. This next song you're going to do for us is from that first album.
Yes, it is.
And if many of Algiers' songs are kind of big, wide-angle views of society, this is a very, it seems, kind of narrowly focused portrait.
If you want, you know. I'm less and less inclined to talk about what songs are about these days. So.
Good for you. All right, let's just hear it. It's called Old Girl. It's from the first album, also called Algiers, by the band, performing live in our studio.
Never seen.
laughing suckers further down.
That again is the band Algiers in a live performance of their song Old Girl. You'll find that on the first of their two albums currently out, the album called Algiers. Franklin, Ryan mentioned new songs already beginning to sound kind of wild.
Yeah.
Is it? I mean, there's the first album has a distinct sound. The second is somewhat different from the first.
Right.
Is the third yet again something different?
Yeah,
as far as you can tell so far?
I think it always will be, as long as we're making music. You know, Hendrix said something once about how a record is just like a diary entry, and it's just a particular documentation of where you are as a group at a particular time and place. And we've gone to a lot of different places and gone through a lot of changes in the past few years, and I think this will reflect that.
One of the signature sounds of the band, though, is always multiple voices, whether it's a sampled choir or all of you, you know, singing together. You used the word, frankly, communal music before, and that seems to be kind of the essence of, you know, that's the nut of the matter.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Guys, it's been great fun having the four of you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
The latest album from Algiers is called The Underside of Power. This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.